healthcare and healthcare organizations in general are just way behind the times in terms of kind of modern marketing techniques. And when you think about, you know, people as consumers of healthcare, you actually don't necessarily see your provider or your hospital as a source of truth because you typically don't have contact with them until you need something. You can't necessarily like go to your provider's website and, you know, be able to kind of do a chat right away, or you're receiving, you know, personalized information that kind of speaks to your concerns. It's all bland and, you know, genericized. And that's why people rely on Dr. Google or Dr. Facebook.
The smartest marketers from all walks of life in every industry, talking about the latest trends, opportunities, and challenges. Insights from marketing executives at organizations like National Geographic, IBM, and the Baltimore Ravens. And tips from business authors and experts known around the world. Ways to improve your community's marketing, starting now, right here on the Marketing Smarts Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Rollworks, the account-based platform for ambitious B2B marketers that want to align their marketing and sales teams and confidently grow revenue. It's planning season for marketers everywhere, and you know what that means. Endless vendor calls, email threads, contracts, and yes, planning meetings. That's why Rollworks is offering to cross one thing off your to-do list. They've put together a boss-ready marketing planning deck that includes templates for everything from ideal audience building to digital ad planning, internal selling slides to align business needs to marketing must-haves, and quick tips on how to win in 2021, no matter where you are in your account-based journey. Download your free editable planning template at tinyurl.com/abmtemplate and get some major props from your higher-ups. That's tinyurl.com/abmtemplate to download today. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Marketing Smarts Podcast. I am your host, Matt Snodgrass, and I'm excited that we've got a great guest today, Jasmine G., the Vice President of Marketing at Arcadia. Jasmine, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Matt?
I am doing well, thanks. And we're excited to have you here.
Yes, I'm extremely excited. This is going to be great.
So we were speaking before we went on the air, and today's topic is an interesting one. Of course, we're talking about the pandemic, and we're talking about the impact it's had on marketers, but we're taking a different tack today. As I mentioned to Jasmine, we've talked a lot about this over the past year on the podcast of how this has impacted marketers, how this has impacted organizations, budget cuts, that sort of thing, but we haven't actually talked about some of the healthcare issues surrounding this. And Jasmine works at Arcadia, and they are responsible for helping rolling out messaging around healthcare, around vaccinations, around messaging and information around the pandemic itself. So we're going to dig into that, and I'm excited to get there. But before we do, we have our standard three questions I want to throw at you, Jasmine. First one is, what are you reading right now? What's on your nightstand?
Yes, what I'm reading right now, I'm kind of going back to basics, is Hero and the Outlaw by Margaret Mark and Carol Pearson. Thinking through kind of the messaging plan, we're kind of wrapping our arms around some new brand messaging that we're thinking through. So, you know, I kind of pour my favorite drink and open up the Kindle and just getting into brand archetypes and all that great stuff.
So my next question usually is, are you a physical book reader or Kindle book reader? But I think you just answered it.
Yeah, it's all digital.
I have found that I do a little bit of both. I still do more physical reading, but I found that anytime I get a deal through Amazon Prime or anything comes up where I can get a free book, I grab it and sort of stockpile it and then find that I never really get back to them. Do you find yourself doing the same thing? Are you a book hoarder like I am?
I'm a digital hoarder. Like, just look at my Dropbox or my Google Drive and it'll make your face melt. So I'm the same thing. Like, I see a deal, I was like, oh yeah, just file that with the hundreds of books that I have on my reading list.
I do the same thing with all kinds of things, whether it's a video game or an online training course or a book. I just sort of put it in my back pocket and think, okay, well, this is a good deal today. I don't necessarily need it right now, but at some point in the future, and I'm still waiting for that point in the future to come. All right, you said you grabbed your favorite drink. That's a great segue to our next question. What is your favorite drink? What's your drink of choice right now?
My favorite drink, because I've got a little bit of a travel bug, is the classic Negroni. So reminds me of Italy, reminds me of, you know, rolling hills in Tuscany. So that's kind of my jam during the winter months for at least the next few weeks.
I love it. I love it. We were actually supposed to go to Italy in, well, around this time, February, March of last year, and that sort of got shut down pretty quickly. So I still have yet to go, but someday I'm going to get there. All right, last question. Let's kick this off then. What are you kind of thinking about from a business standpoint, from a marketing standpoint? What's keeping you up at night?
The thing that's keeping me up at night in a really good way is figuring out how to kind of cut through a lot of the noise that's happening in healthcare marketing. And you kind of mentioned some of the headwinds, declining budgets, misinformation on the consumer side, decision makers being kind of constrained. And so lots of thinking and whiteboarding and Zoom conversations with some of my marketing colleagues around, you know, how can we cut through? How can we elevate our brand? How can we capture attention? How do we build trust? I think an environment where a lot of trust, I think, has kind of been eroded.
Let's talk about trust for a second, because especially in the last year, we have seen just a lot of misinformation flying. There's been a lot of, deceptive information, a lot of things that have put out there that are patently false, a lot of things that are put out there that have kernels of truth to them, but they're, you know, the gist of that is true, but the overall messaging may be a little bit flawed. And when we're dealing with healthcare messaging, we're often dealing with a population that maybe is not as dialed in as they should be and as they could be. So, you know, how do we fight that? How do we combat that? How do we message against some of that misinformation that's out there? Do you find yourself having to take a certain key point and sort of fight back against one thing? Is it a more generalized push? How have you tackled that at Arcadia?
I think historically, and this is actually a great discussion topic, healthcare and healthcare organizations in general are just way behind the times in terms of kind of modern marketing techniques. And when you think about, you know, people as consumers of healthcare, you actually don't necessarily see your provider or your hospital as a source of truth because you typically don't have contact with them until you need something. So if you're kind of healthy or you're worried about something, you can't necessarily like go to your provider's website and, you know, be able to kind of do a chat right away, or you're receiving, you know, personalized information that kind of speaks to your concerns. It's all bland and, you know, genericized. And that's why people rely on Dr. Google or Dr. Facebook or having conversations with someone's cousin who's a dermatologist somewhere, but, you know, you're having, you know, concerns around, you know, your mental health or something like that. So I think, what we are able to do at Arcadia due to, you know, our unbelievable data set is kind of serve up populations of patients and then kind of use our platform tools kind of mixed with, you know, modern consumer marketing techniques to, you know, send text messages during the date and time when, you know, industry shows that most people kind of respond to messages. Being able to do kind of opt-in techniques so you can send kind of personalized outreach to people. And again, arming healthcare organizations with a finite view of, you know, to a certain extent, their markets, their patients, and then kind of leveraging, you know, taking all of our kind of nationwide results and basically saying, okay, here's what you need to do. Send these messages at this time in this order. Or, you know, if you're going to do this, there needs to be a click-through link to a page on your website that allows someone to consume that information in 3 minutes and then do kind of a next call to action. By the way, like that email shouldn't just come from, you know, ABC General Hospital. It should come from Dr. So-and-so or Nurse So-and-so. You know, ideally the last person that patient probably had an interaction with. So again, it's not old techniques and strategies. It's basically taking what marketers do in other industries and convincing healthcare organizations that they can do that too without, you know, breaking a whole bunch of laws and, you know, protecting privacy and all those things.
So you mentioned that that sort of the general populace doesn't see healthcare or hospitals as a source of truth right now. Do healthcare professionals and healthcare practitioners have to sort of be marketers in their own right to some degree? I mean, do we have to sell these facts and this, you know, scientifically validated information to the population?
Yes, I think so. And I also think because, especially, you know, I'm in Boston is a very crowded market. You know, any one, any human, any person in Boston can stumble into an urgent care, an academic medical center, a private practice, and get whatever they need. And so, again, what healthcare organizations need to do is they need to compete for the hearts and minds of their patients. And so there's kind of a acquisition and retention issue there. And one way that you can actually, you know, recruit and retain patients is establishing that trust. So again, you know, getting people to understand, like, I don't need to randomly find some WebMD article to get a question answered. I can go to my doctor. I pay a lot for my health insurance. And if it's through my employer, they're paying a lot too. And so again, use social, use video, use again, kind of consumer marketing techniques, and start establishing that trust by giving people, you know, kind of credible information.
So more than just the patient information handouts they get when they leave an appointment, because does anyone ever read those things actually?
No.
Yeah. And you said that it is sort of very genericized and it's very bland and it's very one size fits all. And I like this idea of customizing and tailoring that to, from an individual clinician to their individual patient. What have you seen that's worked really well, that's resonated, that's led to, you know, high opens or high response rates, or, you know, high levels of engagement with healthcare practitioners?
Mm-hmm. So one of our customers, a pediatric clinically integrated network, did some things that, you know, as a marketer, just kind of like, of course you did this. But the first thing that they did was started raising awareness around the need to bring in your child to make sure that they're staying up to date on their well visits and vaccination schedules, but then also giving them and their parents information around their plans for distributing the vaccine. So the first thing they did was they just did some local radio ads, you know. So did some light purchases and also on social media, just saying like, hey, you know, we're available for you. So again, some generic kind of brand awareness, which again is kind of like marketing 101. So that right. When the outreach started in terms of getting text messages saying, hey, you know, check out this information. It's like, oh, I heard this. Let me click through and see something. And then the email outreach was all opt-in. And so they had actually mounted a campaign over a few years to have patients opt into communications, not necessarily from a marketing standpoint, but to drive some of their clinical programs. And so then it was people would receive a short email, mobile first, from their doctor or their nurse speaking to them. So it was very personalized and able to kind of use, you know, again, you can't send a lot of clinical or health related information in an email, but like, I'm your doctor. Here's, you know, our recommendations in terms of, you know, keeping your child up to date, you know, schedule an appointment right now, but then also we're going to send you regular information in terms of our approach to distributing the vaccine. So again, they established just local awareness, not a whole bunch of dollars, and then just used personalized text messages and personalized emails and had a series of very short steps. So it's not getting like a 5-minute long email with like 3 calls to action. It's like, do this first. Oh, and by the way, you know, we're going to send you some additional information and then tracking open rates, which we can do on our side. And then also making sure and also tracking deliverability rates as well.
I know that everyone listening is probably thinking, well, duh. I mean, these are the very basics, right? This is marketing 101, but it's a completely different arena here than what most of us are probably used to, right? We're used to driving leads for software as a solution or e-commerce leads, trying to make sales on our website, that sort of thing. But it's different when we're talking about healthcare and we're talking about driving these actions. There's, you know, it's a much bigger impact.
Right. And I mean, you can consider a patient who has missed a visit or needs a vaccine as a lead. And so kind of treat these interactions from a clinical perspective, similar to kind of like an inbound marketing campaign. Set your goals, figure out the tactics, deploy the tactics, measure and iterate. And so it doesn't necessarily need to be, you know, oh, well, it's not like real marketing. It is real marketing, except, you know, the conversion is someone reaching out to their clinician and getting the care that they need or right. The care that they should have.
Right. And that is more impactful than any software or piece of equipment or solution that we could sell. I mean, healthcare is truly the most important thing. So in terms of actual vaccinations and vaccine rollout, have you guys started working on messaging around that? Have you been integral in that rollout?
Yes. So that's a key part of our approach is especially a lot of healthcare providers are, you know, paying attention to public health guidance, you know, what's coming from the CDC in terms of prioritizing cohorts of people that should become vaccinated. And so then what we do, again, it kind of goes back to this data set that we have. And what we can say is like, here's the population of patients and, you know, the users of our platform can do this. It's like, check the box. They're over 65, they're immunosuppressed, blah, blah, blah. Boom, here's your list. And then also, again, this is kind of like marketing, making sure that you're capturing their preferred communication preferences. So is it email? Is it a landline? Is it mobile? Should you be reaching out to a caregiver, which gets really interesting as well, especially with older populations? So you may not have the message go to the patient, but go to someone who's been designated as the person who is helping make healthcare decisions, so a healthcare proxy or some type of caregiver. And so again, and this is also, I think, why healthcare organizations struggle with kind of like the marketing 101. It all starts with getting that list and making sure that this is the exact population of patients I need to reach out to. Otherwise, it kind of goes back to personalization and relevancy. You're blasting people with information that doesn't apply to them, which means they're going to start tuning you out. So then when you actually need them to do something, they've already ignored you. They've unsubscribed or they've kind of blocked your phone number. So again, we kind of allow our clients, our customers, to kind of create those lists based on public health guidance, local guidance. And then kind of, you know, again, communication preferences, and then kind of here's our recommendation in terms of the sequences of messages that you should issue to folks.
There seems to be a lot of digital outreach happening there. How do you reach folks who are not as digitally connected, either based on age, based on socioeconomic status, who aren't as dialed in and don't have access to the digital tools that, you know, some of us are more fortunate to be able to access?
So, you know, luckily almost everyone has a cell phone. My mother's 82 years old and sends me text messages like every single day. But you're right. Some folks may not feel comfortable clicking through to a website. And so you could actually click through and actually get someone on the phone. So there's also an operational component behind this. So, you know, you don't want to send 50,000 text messages out to, you know, patient population, but not necessarily have your organization ready to handle the inbound, because some people just may want to call you. So also something that we do is we make sure that those communications are kind of staggered. And so, again, you can kind of think of it as a campaign. So like, here's the first flight, you know, we're going to do this on Monday, then wait 3 days and do the next population or something. But again, you also want to create a diversity of methods for people to kind of take that call to action. So I don't like talking to someone anytime, anywhere, like just give me a form or give me an app and I'm fine. But there are some people who may have questions. And so being able to have people kind of click through and have a phone call, or to be able to schedule an appointment to have a conversation later, is also critical in terms of engagement rates for this type of outreach.
And that's exactly what I was just thinking about, was the customer experience, because so many organizations have moved towards the streamlined customer experience where you can find all the information you need on their website, or they put FAQs in front of you, or there's a chat bot, or there's a very do-it-yourself component to all these. And I think what we're talking about here in healthcare is there is a large portion of the population who isn't maybe not comfortable or have the technical wherewithal to do that, and does what you said, does just want to talk to someone on the phone because it'll make life so much easier. So in light of, you know, a lot of organizations moving to digitize that, it sounds like we're moving the other direction in healthcare and allowing all these different modalities, all these different avenues to be open for people.
Exactly.
I mean, it does in the end create a much better customer experience all around.
Right. And again, that amazing word of mouth. And so it kind of goes back to, you know, competing for new patients. You have a great experience, you have a bad experience, you tell everyone. But again, kind of COVID and vaccines, like if you've had a great experience and were able to get the information you need, you're probably going to tell your friends. And if they can, they may reach out to that organization as well. Like, oh, well, my friend got the answers they need and they made it super easy. I can't get a hold of my doctor, or I'm confused by what's on Google. You know, maybe I'll use the same, you know, provider or health system or hospital that my friend who had a great experience did.
How is the actual rollout happening in Boston? I know in Pittsburgh here, and it seems like everywhere, but I know there are sort of enclaves where it's working. But in Pittsburgh, we're short on everything. I mean, there are openings to get vaccines, but there are no vaccines available, or there are vaccines available here, but there are no openings to get in. My wife is actually taking two of our elderly neighbors today as we speak, as we're recording this, to get their vaccines. But it's been a process of multiple weeks to get to that point. And she's done all the legwork for them. She's done all the outreach and contact, because they haven't known who to contact, what website to go to. Do I go through my doctor? Do I go through a pharmacy, a CVS, sort of things like that? What's the situation look like in Boston right now?
So I think, Boston, Massachusetts, still struggling with supply, like, you know, almost every other part of the country. But we also have an amazing, Department of Public Health. So targeting, 75 and up, I think, was the first cohort, really prioritizing vaccinations in nursing home, long-term care facilities, skilled nursing facilities, frontline health workers. So we're not at the stage yet where, you can stumble into a CVS and get a vaccine. It's really still focusing on, those at most risk and frontline healthcare workers. So, masking up and, maintaining social distance. And our governor gives an update almost feels like every day, but every week, in terms of kind of changing guidance to make sure, if you're paying attention, that you've got the information that you need.
That's the key word, the key phrase, if you're paying attention.
Yeah, if you're paying attention.
It gets harder and harder to pay attention, doesn't it, the longer this goes? I mean, I feel like, okay, I get it. I know what's going on. I feel like I don't need a daily update. I have a sense of where things are. But really, it is vigilance that's going to be the end of this, right? We have to just take care and maintain. So let's talk about results here. Let's talk about, as you look at this sort of campaign overall, what you guys have been doing so far. Successful, not successful, moderately successful. Where do you see things right now with what you've seen so far?
I would say shockingly successful. And again, I think it might be due to having kind of low expectations in terms of healthcare marketing. But over 2 million text messages, 80% of them were delivered, and the individual results within clients varies, but we're seeing anywhere from 30 to 50% click through rate. And so click through rate means, they are scheduling an appointment, they're showing up or they're having conversations with people, or they're kind of signing up, subscribing to newsletters and things like that. So super high engagement, and we're just getting started.
When we're thinking about our messaging, right, and it can be anything. Obviously, you're in healthcare, as I mentioned before. I used to be in healthcare, but I'm glad I moved out of it. Right? I mean, we talked about earlier off the air, a lot of healthcare messaging is boring, right? There's compliance we have to adhere to. It doesn't feel like we can have the fun we maybe want to have, but you sort of fought me on that. You pushed back a little bit and said, no, I'm making this fun. Talk a little bit about that. What aspects do you like about healthcare marketing? Because I remember I was in there and thought, well, this is marketing, this is the world. And as soon as I moved out of healthcare marketing, I was like, oh my gosh, there's a whole new area of marketing that I don't have to sort of follow as many rules, and I can be a little more fun and a little more creative. Tell me what you're bringing to healthcare marketing that you're excited about.
I think the first thing that a lot of healthcare marketing lacks, which is hilarious because it's healthcare, is humanity. So not the smiling doctor in the white coat with the stethoscope, but, faces of real life people dealing with kind of real life situations, but also kind of feeling supported behind the scenes. It's hard because you don't want to also come across as like pharma being like, oh, I'm a happy person jogging through a park because I took a pill. So there's kind of a balance. But I do think that making your organization more approachable. So real life employees, real life customers, and if you're lucky enough, real life patients kind of doing everyday things. I also think just adding some humor to things. At my previous company before I joined Arcadia, it was a virtual primary care company. What we started doing on social media was just kind of poking fun at the things that we all acknowledge are just pains in terms of healthcare. Being like, I'm so excited that I need to wait like 3 months to get an appointment, says no one ever. Or, oh, yay, I spent 10 minutes with my doctor and I have to pay $500. Like, no one ever says that. So I think, and again, this is how you can kind of allow your brand to be a bit more approachable and a bit more human. It's just kind of lightly poking at the things that everyone's going to acknowledge and have a little bit of an amen choir. Because again, it's just being like, we understand the situations that you're dealing with. Like, we understand the reality of you as a healthcare organization or you as a patient. And so we get it. And if we get it, now we can actually start talking about our benefits and, you know, how we're differentiating in the market and how we can drive real value to you. So, you know, put faces on things and not, you know, genericized stock photo, you know, Getty image type of things. Interject some humor. And I think social media is a great way to do that in videos. Keep it short, keep it fun, keep it shareable. And again, create that brand affinity, because then you can start doing some of the hardcore business talk. Let's talk about ROI. Let's talk about value. You know, let's talk about our stuff. But you can really, really have a lot of fun at the brand level.
I resonate with everything you just said. Our son broke his arm about a month ago, and it was probably a 2-hour wait. After we had gone to the emergency room, they sent us to a specialist, and it was probably a 2-hour wait for, I would say, less than a 10-minute visit in there. And it was like sitting in a waiting room or out in your car waiting for 2 hours with someone with a broken arm who's just crying in pain. It's not a lot of fun, especially for what ends up being a 10-minute doctor's visit. So,
right.
Oh, I feel you. I feel you. Well, Jasmine, thank you so much for being here today. It's amazing to hear what you guys are doing and how you're helping the rollout, how you're helping get people notified, get people informed. I mean, it really is a never-ending battle. There's always information out there that's taking away the validity of the truth of what we're saying. And I like the fact that marketers are stepping up. I like the fact that marketers are helping spread the truth, helping get information into people's hands who need it.
Yeah, and that's what makes it all worthwhile, right? And I'm lucky in healthcare where the result is, you know, someone getting the care they need, someone getting a little healthier, someone getting a bit more informed, so that, you know, again, they can kind of be their whole life and live their life. And again, yeah, that's why I love healthcare marketing. The impact is very real and very obvious.
We at Marketing Profs had a tagline we were using for a while, and it was that learning changes lives. And the idea is that by learning something, it doesn't have to be marketing, but by bettering yourself, you are at some point changing your life down the line. And I was just thinking about that as you were talking and thinking, you know what, marketing, in this case, marketing is changing lives. Marketing is directly contributing to impacting and saving lives here. And I'm so happy I got the chance to talk to you today. Thank you so much for being on.
Yeah, thank you. This was a blast.
Everyone, thank you again for listening. This has been a fantastic episode. Thank you again so much to Jasmine for being here. And folks, if you like what you heard today, do me a favor. Find a friend. Tell them about this podcast. They'll think that you are a rock star by giving them something new to listen to, something exciting and hopefully fun and enjoyable to listen to. Thank you, everyone, and we'll see you again in our next episode. Thanks again to Rollworks for sponsoring today's episode. And a special thank you to Signature Tones for providing the custom music for the opener. You can learn more at signaturetones.com. And, most important, thanks to you for listening. If you have a comment, question, or concern, please email us at support@marketingprofs.com. This has been the Marketing Smarts Podcast, brought to you by Marketing Profs.